Welcome to the ministry of Reverend Selassie Maxines of the Makarios Church, East Legon Ogbojo Branch. He is a seasoned and anointed teacher of the word and prophet whose ministry is backed by signs, wonders, and instant miracles. His unadulterated teaching of the word will change your life forever. Now, sit back, relax, and be blessed by today's word.
So maybe we can start from verse 60, John chapter 6, verse 60. John 6, 60. And we want to enter a bit of loyalty today. Yeah, okay, that's fine. I thank God. The Bible says that many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, they said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Thus does this offend you?" Then you jump to 66. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Are you with me? I fill in the story. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Back to 60. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus turns unto the 12, and he asks the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered and said, "Lord, whom shall we go to? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe." I see 69. "And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." See an amen. Right. So this is a little passage of scripture where Jesus was talking about his death in the mystery. Right. And then Jesus was speaking about how believers need to eat his body and drink his blood. I hear. Eat his body. And then he said that if you don't eat my body and drink my blood, you are not a part of me. You don't belong to this fraternity. Because eating the body and drinking the blood is a very, very spiritual ceremony that happens in the church. Today we call it the communion. Very spiritual. Many miracles have happened through the communion. Can you help me a bit? Yeah. Many miracles have happened through the communion. Are you with me? And sometimes I don't know what the protocol is here, but sometimes the reason why people don't partake of the communion is the reason why they should have eaten the communion. The reason they give themselves for not eating the communion is the very reason why they should eat the communion. And I'm going to just, yeah. I don't want to toe that line because I will go off what I want to do. So as he spoke, then the disciples said, no. This teaching is too hard. You don't like such a preaching like that. The message is too wild. It's too pricky. It's too bashing a war. Message, no, a war. A tree. Is that how they call it? A tree. We cannot receive such a preaching. We want nice preaching. Preach about God. Preach about favor, prosperity, later. But you bring a message where it's only blasting and what? No. He said we cannot take this. We cannot take this nonsense here in this church. I brought myself to the church. Yes, and I have decided to submit to you. You cannot use my submission and talk anyhow. So the Bible said that from that time onwards, many of the church members left. Jesus lost church members. Yeah, he lost church members. Many of the church members left that day because of the preaching. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and he asked them a question that, you guys also, will you also go? Then Peter, you know Peter, he talks a lot. So Peter began to answer and said, no, there's nowhere we are going. We are not going anywhere. We are here. Yeah. The thing that has moved other people away is our blessing. Yes. Then he said that because we are very sure that you are the Christ, the son of the conviction we have of who we are following, cannot be distorted by even the harsh words that are coming from your mouth. We can feel the harshness of your sermon, but it cannot confuse us about who you are and what you represent to us. So we can accommodate the harsh words because we understand what you represent to us. So we are not going anywhere. Here, no, we did. Here, no, we did. Yeah. The thing that has moved other people away is the same thing that Peter is saying, that this is our blessing. So it's really about you. Do you know that? Are you people around? Do you know that for every marriage that went off, every marriage that divorced, that ended up in divorce, the reason that brought the couple to a divorce, there are many marriages with the same reason but still existing. If you catch your husband cheating, and you decide to move to break the marriage, there are many marriages that are still going on that the husband has been caught several times. But there's a way to solve a problem. If your conflict resolution index is low, it's like we cannot discuss the problem with you and solve it and come back to peace. It means your conflict resolution level is low. It means that as for you, anytime that there's a problem with you, peace cannot come. We can never resolve a problem with you. We cannot sit down, I explain myself, you explain yourself, I say sorry, you say sorry, and we restore the relationship. Like, it cannot happen with you. Your conflict resolution level is very low. Watch out for people whose conflict resolution level is low, and don't marry one because, look, every day you have a problem in your house. Oh yes, yes. Every problem is solvable. Every issue is solvable. Every confusion is solvable. If I'm not happy with you, and I can tell you about it, you should be able to open up. Let's have the discussion. Let's come to an amicable solution, and then life goes on. Yeah. But there are some people, no. So you see, it's not the problem, it's the persons whose conflict resolution level is low. And those people, they just freak out. They freak out. Small thing, they freak out. Little thing, they freak out. Any little thing, they freak out. Every is like small thing that even babies can accommodate. They just freak out. And then when they freak out, they have the loudest mouth. And they have the highest trumpet. They can trumpet things on the mountaintop. It's more than a radio. Everybody will hear it in Sunyani, they will hear it in Kumasi, they hear it in Kofredia. A little problem that happened in our house here is being trumpeted on Sunny FM. Watch people like that. Yeah. And when you bring them close to leadership, they become dangerous people. Because your distance from the altar and your distance from the man of God, the further you are from the man of God, the less likely is it for you to encounter conflicts and confusion. The closer you are, the more conflicts and confusion that you encounter. So once a man of God is drawing you closer to himself, you have to start to now raise up and uplift your conflict resolution level, your accommodating grace. Your heart, everything has to become higher, because the closer you are coming to the penalty circle where we play penalty into the goalpost. Oh, and that's why some people don't qualify to be brought closer to the man of God. For example, they shouldn't even come to your house. No. When they call you, Pastor, can I meet you? And say, let's meet at the church. Let's meet at the church. When they come to the house, they get confused. They don't understand the blessing of being brought close. And yet, the blessing is a two-edged sword. One side is a blessing, one side is a temptation. Anybody who is blessed is tempted. Once you are blessed, you are tempted. And if you cannot accommodate the blessing, if you cannot enjoy the blessing, right, and accommodate the temptation, then you don't qualify for the blessing. Oh, I'm swelling the meeting. I remember when I was younger, I listened to a message by Bishop T.D. Jakes. The title was, Can You Stand to Be Blessed? It's like, once you are blessed, things are provoked. Jealousy is provoked. Jealousy is a function of blessing. When somebody is jealous of you, he has seen a blessing on your life. So once you are blessed, be prepared for jealousy from those around you. You are blessed with beauty. Somebody who is not as beautiful as you are will be jealous. You are blessed with academic excellence. Somebody who is struggling with academics will be jealous. You are blessed with an anointing, grace, a power. Somebody who doesn't have as much will be so. So jealousy is a function of a blessing. And I'm going to ask you. Yeah. So the guys told Jesus that we are here. Here now that we are. We are not going anywhere. We see the guys who have gone. They can't recognize that you are the Christ. But we can see that you are the Christ. Yeah. And we are sure. Somebody say we are sure. Yeah. We are sure of where we are. Yeah. This is the bedrock of what you call loyalty. This scripture is the bedrock of what we call loyalty. Everybody must have different levels of loyalty. First of all, you need loyalty to God. You need to have a certain degree of changing covenant. You have a covenant or a decision towards God that doesn't change, irrespective of the seasons of life you find yourself in. Do you get what I'm saying? When a person is loyal, his dealings with God does not change, whether it's raining or the sun is shining. That person is constant. Constant. It's like if you met him last year, his heart towards God and his attitude towards God is still the same as this year. And yet this year he has lost his relationship. He's been brokenhearted by a girl that he wanted to marry in September. But it doesn't affect his dealings with God. The same way he was praying last year with the beloved is the same way he's praying this year without a beloved. He's unchanging. Nothing changes him. Yeah, that's loyalty. And everybody must develop a high level of loyalty with God. That when it comes to God, my decision with God does not change. Yes. Yeah. And you point to the devil and tell the devil, like, I'm not a soft guy. I'm not a soft guy. You can throw any arrow. You can shoot God. But I'm telling you, this God that I've chosen, until my bones are rotten. You remember? Last year, I will follow him until my bones are rotten. Oh yes. No matter whether we are in joy or we are in pain, God and my covenant with God does not change. You need loyalty with God. Then you need a loyalty with a God's servant. 2 Corinthians 20:20. Believe in the Lord thy God, and thou shalt be established. And believe in his prophets. So now you need a covenant with a servant of God, which is also unchanging. No matter what winds are blowing, your heart towards that servant that God gave you does not change. And you must know that one of Satan's arrows he throws is to neutralize the fervency of your love for God's servant that he puts in your heart. Are you with me? Yes. So everybody must have an unchanging covenant. Like this is my man of God. This is my prophet. This is my God's servant. And I'm going to stay here. You see, Peter said that we are not going to get here, no, that we are. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to love him. I'm going to support him. I'm going to encourage him. I'm going to serve with him and serve him until. Yes. And I'll tell you, it won't be long. You will see a man of God more powerful than him. I know of a brother, Claire. It's not a story. He's a clean brother. Clean brother. I know his name. I know where he is right now. On his wedding day, when he moved on the aisle here and they exchanged the vow, you take this woman as your wedded wife to have and to hold, all they did that. They were facing the altar. Right. Then at the point, you know, when the man of God wants to introduce the new couple to the church. So now may the couple face the congregation. Now I introduce to you the latest bride, the latest couple, Mr. and Mrs. When this guy married, when he turned and looked in the congregation, then he spotted the girl in the corner. Then he said, Aquam Bantem. Hey! Aquam Bantem. I'm not talking about one day after the wedding. I'm talking about the wedding day. Oh, yes. Yes. He was confessing to us. He was confessing and said, hey, when he spotted the girl in the corner, I said, what? Aquam Bantem. Palam Bantem. Yes. I'm telling you that when your covenant to a person is only because you feel that he's the best, that covenant is not real. It's not real. Yeah. My wife that I married, she's a pretty woman. Very pretty. Very pretty. But I won't lie to you, I've seen prettier women. Oh yes. Oh yeah, one day I sat on a flight. I don't know where I was, whether Ghana to, I think we go to Ethiopia. Hey, man of God. Hey, the Ethiopian air hostesses, they were like angels. Hey! Hey! And then they would come. Hello, sir. Tea or coffee? I said, don't talk to me. Who had a drink? Who had a drink? Don't talk to me. I was saying it to my heart. Don't talk to me. Sir. Tea. Say, hello, sir. Tea or coffee? Don't ask me tea or coffee. You are worrying my mental. Hey! Oh yes, but I had to go and come back to my wife, because your loyalty must not change even though you see a better somewhere. There's a greater man of God somewhere. There's a more proficient man of God somewhere. There's a richer man of God somewhere, but since I chose you as my servant of God, my covenant is unchanging. I can appreciate how great Pastor Chris is. I can appreciate how great Mr. Otabel is. But this is my pastor, and this is where I am for the rest of my life. Yes. People who change by the changing situations, now you see that there's a wonder prophecy. Now we are moving. Ah! We are going there. Hey! Are you with me? Yeah. So you need an unchanging. Listen to the word, though. On an unchanging, a decision that you made that is not affected by, is not affected by time. It's not affected by fire. It's not affected by pressure. It's not affected by circumstances. It's not affected by issues. Issues come and disturb it, but it's standing immovable. Paul told the Corinthian church, be steadfast. He said, be immovable. Do you understand the word immovable? He said, Mount Zion, which is immovable. Yeah, Pinti. Be immovable. It said, forces will come against you. This want to remove you. And I'm telling you, as I'm looking at your faces here, all of you sitting here, if you're 5 years down the line, you should be here. I said, you should be here. I can't feel there. I can't feel there. Hey, you have to come. Bishop said he went to Korea. Then he met a pastor. He was telling about his members. Then he pointed to this one. This is Chin Shun Shun. He said he had been with me for 42 years. 42 years. Then he pointed to another one. Yin Yang Hua. This one has been with me for 35 years. Then he pointed to another one. This is, what are the names? Chinese names, Grandpa. Korea. Ah? Chin Chong Hu. This one has been 37 years. He said none of the pastors, none of the leaders who worked with this man of God was less than 30 years. Yes. Yes. Can that story be told of you?
Yes.
Do you know when I joined Lighthouse? 1998. Where were you? Yes. I'm 20 years plus in this church. I joined as a young boy. Yes. And in 2014, something happened to me. Huh? If I've not left this church, it would be difficult to leave. One of my greatest trials in this church happened in 2014. Oh yes, it shook me. It rocked me. My boat was rocked. I stayed in my room with my wife. I said, what shall I do? Yes. I said, no. We chose here. This is where we eat our bread. This is where we drink our water. This is where we born our children. This is where we raise up our children. This is where we do everything. We say, we are here. Unmovable. Oh, and we cross that. You will cross every river in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. We cross the river. That's why I'm here. 2022. I'm still here. I'm still preaching. Happily in the church. Yes. I'm saying that when we call your name Chin Shun Shun, how many years can we ascribe to you? In the church. In the same church. Maybe we may start another branch somewhere and send you there, but it's the same church. with the same commission, the same denomination. I'm saying that if one day we are introducing you, how many years can we ascribe to you? And let me help you to answer the question. Will you like to celebrate 50th marital anniversary in your marriage? Do you like only 7 years, then the marriage is finished? It's the same thing. Your anniversary in the ministry God has put you, it must be a long anniversary. Plenty years. And I'm going to just say, plenty years. We vet you by time. You see, when you see somebody who has been here for a long time, like somebody who is celebrating 65 years. Salute the person. Because for 65 years, he has escaped many deaths. You are just 23. You are just 27. I sat with a woman and her daughter this afternoon. I was counseling them. The woman burst into tears. He said, my daughter can look into my face and call me a witch. And I told the girl that, do you know how old your mother is? Your mother is 59 years. Do you know what it takes to live on this earth for 59 years? Do you know the things she has escaped to be alive till 59? You are just 26 years. You must pray that God gives you 10 more years to be 36. Then another 10 more years to be 46. Another 10 more years to be 56. Your mother is 59. Do you know the many mountains she has overcome? The many rivers she has crossed? The many arrows she has escaped? To 10:59. Huh. Only for time, even if she's poor, only for surviving time, she deserves honor. Even if she's poor, to survive time, 59 years, she deserves honor. Yes. Oh, I know that this time we are going to have Chin Shonshu. Yeah, so I've been here for 28 years. Hey, that was Yang Hunhua. So how many years? Oh, 43 years. He said, hey, you are the pillar of the church. He said, at that time, the church is in almost every nation. He said, when we began the church. Yes. Are you with me?
Yes.
Loyalty is important. Somebody say loyalty is important. Why? Why? Am I helping you? There are a number of points, but I want to start from this one. Loyalty is important in a church, in a denomination. You see? And whilst I talk about loyalty, for you to understand it well, be translated in your head as faithfulness in a relationship and marriage. It will help you. Yeah. Like faithfulness in a relationship and marriage. Just let your head translate it quickly and then come back. We need loyalty so that we can have a large and successful ministerial team. We need loyalty in this church, which is a covenant you make, a decision you come to, a conviction in your heart about God, about your prophet, and about this commission. What this commission stands for, I am loyal to it. So you have a loyalty to God, loyalty to the servant of God, and loyalty to the commission. When I say commission, do you understand? What the denomination stands for, its vision, its mission, its philosophies, its standards, its operations, its dealings, whatever we do, which is our culture in this church, you need the loyalty to it. You have to be a good example of a person who represents the culture of this church. In our church, we have a culture of soaking messages. I am a very good example. But Mondays are a busy day for me because Monday I have to soak in all of Bishop Dark's sermons he preached. I have to soak in all of Bishop Eddie's sermons he preached. I'm busy. You see, Bishop Dark preaches Saturday morning at an acaso. Then you preach Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. Then you preach revivals. That's three messages. And Bishop Eddie will preach two. That's five. I have to soak all. Not with anybody with a cane. Have you soaked it? Nobody is even calling me to check it. Have you soaked for last week? No. It's our culture in our church. And I'm a good example of that culture. If you come and stay with me, you will see that Mondays I'm busy. Soaking in Sunday's message. And I told you that no serious Christians listen to a sermon once. If you sit in the church, once have I heard. Twice have I heard. Once I have spoken, twice have I heard. Twice we hear. So you need a loyalty to the vision of the church. Do you see their levels? First is to God. Second is to the set man of the denomination. And third is to the precepts of the denomination. What the denomination stands for. What the church stands for. I give myself to it. And I push it. Say amen to me. I'm wasting your time. So we need people like this who are part of the ministerial team of Unction Word Chapel, who are loyal to God. They fear God. Who are loyal to the prophet and who are loyal to the denomination. I'm talking about the ministerial team, not the membership. People that the entire church can rest on. I can send you. You are all ministers in different categories of the church. When we do have loyalty in this group, we'll have a small group of people leading the church. Because people come and go. People come and stay for us and go. People join little and go. People join little. We are not adding on. Like if we are 3, 4, 7, 9, 12, 15. If you are 15 here, by 3 months, new groups of people should add on because the people already here are so bonded and connected, never to disconnect. That we will only have new people coming to add, not to come and replace those who left. Churches don't move on because people come to replace those who were before. That's our problem. When you check most churches, those who were part of the leadership 2 years ago, serving, pushing, are no more there. So now the new people God has brought, instead of adding, they are now coming to replace. As though it's like, so it's the same number. It's the same number all the time. It's a problem. It's a problem. So now the ministry team is not enlarging. It's not growing. Because everybody is here and as long as it's convenient. Everybody is here as long as it's cool. Everybody is here as long as it falls within my lines. Once it goes off your lines a little bit, I pack my baggage, I pack my stuff, I say bye. You even be decent enough to send a text that can I be released? You just disappear. I came on my own. You just disappear and you say, you are looking into my face, Pray that you don't meet a meter that will make you behave like what I'm describing. Yeah. Pray that tomorrow, James said that knowing that the trying of your faith. Once you declare that I believe in somebody, the next thing that faith will be tried. The trying of your faith in working patience. Once you say, I love Pastor Chris, that faith will be tried.
Once you say, I believe in Unction World Chapel, that faith will be tried. And many people feel that faith. They feel. Yes. Are you with me? We need a large ministerial team. We need everybody in a particular area, the minimum of, at least minimum, is two in every area. Minimum. 3, 4, 5. God came to Adam and said, no. It's not good to you. It's not good to be alone. No. It's not good for only one person to be behind the mixer. It's not good to be alone. It's not good to be the only worship leader. The only, like, the day you don't come, no, then the worship is some way. It's not good to be alone. It's not good to be, I don't know what else you do, who are the keyboardist. It's like you are the only keyboardist. And every day we have to call you. It's 5 minutes, man. Where are you? 5 more minutes. Where are you? Are you here? So I'm on the way. I'm almost here. It's like you are the only keyboardist. God appeared in the church of Eden. He told Adam that you should not be alone. It's not good to be alone. I'll add one more person to you. I'll add one more keyboardist. I'll add one more sound person. So that now you'll be two. Shouldn't be alone. Shouldn't be alone. That's our problem. The ministerial team is not increasing. Because the one who is leading the worship will be offended right now and go. We have to go and find another. But if everybody is loyal, we can have 4 strong worship leaders. 4 strong worship leaders. Because the one who was there before is still there. Happily so. Happily so. Then a new one has come to add to their 2. God brings a 3rd one. We have 3 strong worship leaders. It doesn't happen because by the time God is bringing a new one, the one that is there is offended. He's gone. I'll be here. So it's that replacement thing. It's like, there's a lady who was singing in my church. Then another girl rose up and came. So I called the children and said, look, you'll be singing. The singing that you sing, it's not depending on who is better. It's depending on what I feel for the day. The song that I feel, this one can be better. And that's what I want to sing. The song that, because when 2 ladies are doing the same thing, then you're not careful, pet. Problem will come right now. Why is it that last week she sang? 2 weeks ago she sang. Today too. I'm not. Why can't we have 7 singers in the same team who love each other, passionate? Why can't we have 7 strong potential branch pastors of our church? Why can't we have 7 strong prayer leaders? It's not the ministerial team is not enlarging because we are just doing replacements. They said, a new lady God brought to my church. She sang last week. Beautiful song. She sang. I was happy. I called Esther. I told her that somebody was singing this song the way you are singing 2 years ago. I can show you the picture right now. You should have come to meet her so that you are now you are a team. 2 of you are strong. Charlie, you are encouraging each other. But she left. She left. So as you have come into a vacuum as though there's nobody here. People have tilled this ground before you came. Yeah. That's our problem. That's our problem. The ministerial teams are not enlarging. We can have 7 assistants. Oh yes. We have strong assistants who know that this our father, all of us are strong. When it comes to prayer, it's my horn. When it comes to outreach, I'm the horn. If it comes to administration, I'm here. If it comes to music, I'm here. But all of us are 7 strong guys. You leave right now. You want to go and start your own Jesus International Function Ministry. Oh, yes. You want to go and be your head over somewhere. Do you know what I say? Yeah. Only one man can only do so little. One pastor can only be at one place at a time. He can only minister until his strength is finished, exhausted. Are you with me? It's not possible to have an effective team who are not loyal. Huh? Are you with me? You are immovable. Madam, you are immovable. You are a rock that we can build the church on. And you are happy. You are not a hypocrite. When you are happy, you are genuinely happy. And you are happy to be here. Then God can add more people to the team. And the strength of the team, is in the multiplicity of the people. That's how strong we are. Are you with me at all?
Yes.
Do not allow yourself to be replaced. No. Don't allow yourself to be replaced. Stay. Tell somebody, stay. Give your heart. Listen to me. I said, do what? Stay. And number two is what? And be unchanging. We need a large loyalty. That's why we need loyalty in the church. Right. Then I'll show you a few lessons on loyalty. I just want to be led by God. What do you think? Am I being well?
You're doing well.
I would have been better. Yeah. Lessons on loyalty. What does it mean if you say that a ministerial team? Are you with me? And then before I want you to and even see who you are. Like, you are not supposed to think like an ordinary church member. You are supposed to raise your thinking higher. And then your level of commitment higher. And your level of input higher. Leaders cannot give or behave like members. Do you see? And when you are being trained into something, begin to. You see, the real training is in the mind. Begin to think that what is expected of this training that we are going through. Think leadership. Think assisting. We are assisting the ministry. We are the ones going to build the church to the next level. And God is going to depend on the people here to lift the church to the next level. And we can do it. Tell somebody, we can do it. Use your life for something like this. I was telling the church people that I don't know how a human being can live his life, that the life is not usable by God, and he's happy, he's okay. You are living the life that God cannot use that life to do anything. To preach, to sing, to win souls, to evangelize, to start a church. That God cannot find your life as an example to use for any of these things, and you are happily living. I can't believe it. Lessons on loyalty, number one. Things you must know about loyalty as leaders. Number one, your loyalty demands full persuasion. Your loyalty. If you are loyal, it means you are fully persuaded that this is where God wants me to be. This is a good place. There is a blessing here. There's a future here for me. The will of God is here. The presence of God is here. I'm going to be here for a long time. If that persuasion is not in your heart, a little wind will move you. You must be fully convinced in your heart about anything you are involved in the church. To be a committed member
of a ministry team requires that, what I call full persuasion. If you are going to be loyal to me, you will have to be sure about me. If you are going to be loyal about me, if you are going to be loyal to me, you have to be sure about me. Before you hear a story in town and begin to believe the story than to believe me, who has been with you for some time. When somebody tells you something, it carries more weight than what I tell you. Then you are not, your persuasion is weak. If your persuasion is stronger at the face of accusation and the face of stories, and stories that taint or stain or defile a church, you will sieve through, you will sieve the stories through and find the, your man of God's integrity and his heart for God. That look, this man, I know him. Say, if you're going to be, you have to be persuaded that I am called, and you have to be sure that whatever I'm doing, God is using me. God is here. All of you here must be sure, fully persuaded that God is in this house. God is here. I don't know if you come from town to come and now prove to you that God is in this house. It has to be a full persuasion that even if you come to church 3 Sundays and you don't feel the presence of God, like the service is dry, besides, no. We know the river we drink here. The river we drink here is soaked with God. This Sunday that it has rained, that the whole place is looking dry, it's not a reason to doubt the presence of God. Full persuasion. You must be persuaded about the grace that is operating here. It's a super grace. With me, you must be persuaded about the integrity and the loyalty in the heart of your man of God towards God. The man loves God. I would rather be with the man who loves God than a man who is loud in town and on social media. How can you have the man of God as your man of God who doesn't know you? The person doesn't know you, and that's your favorite man of God in town. It's like your role model. Your spiritual father does not know you. And then there's a spiritual father right before you. He's just an instructor. He instructs you, read the Bible, pray, sing. He's just an instructor for about the person you love, is in South Africa. Who doesn't know you? Who, when he's praying, your name can never drop on his mind to mention your name. That's your spiritual father. You're not serious. Your full persuasion is needed in the advent of bad stories. A church that doesn't have bad stories is not ready to grow. Yes. It's a growth season. It will sieve out, the stories will sieve out all the nincompoops and all the chaffs, it will remove them. Then now, those who are left are the pure in heart who are ready to move to the next season. Yes. I hear. Oh yeah. That's God's way. You just sieve them, just throw a little story. Hey, sir. Hey, the pastor has been preaching for you years. It's not that you are saying, sir. Sir. Sir, it's like somebody has now come to somebody who just joined the church 6 months ago. You have been here longer than this person. He's now coming to show you the bad side of your pastor. You came to meet me here. You are now coming to teach me that pastor is like this. You are not serious. If you also believe it, then you are blind and you are a wicked, wicked, wicked church member. You are dangerous. You are dangerous. Oh yeah. We have been here longer. We know. We have seen this. We have seen this. Are you with me? Yeah. You must be fully, fully persuaded that I'm in a good place. You see, so what Bishop is saying, that all pastors will be accused. All pastors will be accused. Like it's a, it's a common sentence on every pastor. Once you are a pastor, no, you hear some stuff. It's a occupational hazard. I like that. Occupational hazard. You get what I'm saying? And the problem also is that when it's happening to your heart, when you are now the problem, you need to have your own internal restoration system. You get home, you check yourself, correct yourself, so that something bad is happening to you. Something bad is happening. It's like now, when prophet even calls me, I don't want to pick the call. Something bad is happening to me. When I close from church, I just want to disappear. When the service closes, like church, you just want to disappear, or you don't respond to messages on the page again. You read the message, but you don't respond. Like, hey, something bad is happening to you. Tell them, be fully persuaded. Which means that believe to a nonsense level. That what? I'm in a good place. I have a great man of God. I'm in a great church. God is here. This is the servant of God for my life. I'm here. You know, I watched a video recently of our pastor in the UK. He led his daughter to the altar to be married to his daughter. And when he lifted his head, then he saw that the pastor who officiated his own wedding is the same pastor officiating his daughter's wedding. That's Bishop Doug. And he said that he has stayed so long with one man of God that he can now even trust his child to now come and be married by the same man of God. I don't understand how you can be in this church and then you have come to dedicate your child. It's like your mother's pastor for Pentecost should now come and dedicate the child. Or mommy said, oh, how? No. Your marriage should be blessed by the same man of God. Because you are interested in his hand on your head when you are married, then his hand must dedicate your child. Then his hand must touch your car when you buy a car, and when you build your house, his feet must be on the ground to get the same.